jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach. Dave Dobenmeyer.
When is April going? Have you been outside your house at all during the month of April? Amazing what's going on, isn't it, friends? Just absolutely amazing. Our governor here in the state of Ohio, he made the big time. He made it on Fox News last night. And Michael DeWine was best buddies with John McCain. That's all I need to know about somebody. And boy, we've been in lockdown here for a long time. He's been one of the guys really leading the charge. Got a great commentary posted today. I'm not going to take time to read it, but if you go to our website, a couple things that you won't run into. Number one, my latest commentary says, "Where do I go? How do I get a redress of grievances?" I can't remember what I named it, but something along that line. Who will redress my grievances? It's really it's kind of chewy, but it's pretty good. And we're going to talk about that this morning, some of it with Sheriff Richard Mack. Is who do I go to? How do I get this thing straightened out? And I think that's one of the greatest issues that we're dealing with is we all, not all of us, but many of us see exactly what's gone. Who do we turn to? Huh? Well, can't somebody help me out here? Hey, citizens arrest! Citizens arrest! I feel like Goober Pyle sometimes, right? You see people are breaking the law. Do you call your congressman? Do you call your state rep? Do you call your state senator? Who do you call? Who will redress your grievances? So I looked up that word, redress your grievances. Redress means to make right. Who will make right? We have a God-given right to petition our government to make things right, to redress our grievances. Who do we turn to? And I'm sorry to tell you that we're in a culture and a society today where once the government clamps down on you, there really isn't a whole lot you can do. There's no place. And let me throw this out at you real quick because I want you to think about this. If I have the right to petition my government for redress of grievances, why do I have to pay for a lawyer to do that? If the government has overstepped if the government told me that I have to shelter in place and they don't have the right to tell me I have to shelter in place, why do I have to go spend $20,000 on a lawyer to go fight the government to get my inalienable God-given right to be able to get out of my house? When did we have to start paying for God-given rights? And that's where we are, folks. This legal system that we've fallen into is really crazy. I can hear you there, Sheldon. We can hear you there. So we're lucky enough today that we've I ran into Sheriff Richard Mack, a couple months ago at a gathering that we had out in the Houston, Texas area. And I had admired Sheriff Mack from a distance, really for probably 10 years or whatever. And it's funny how the Lord, through the confluence of events, brings people together. And I had an immediate liking and attachment to the sheriff because I could tell he was the real deal and a real fighter. And, he had a case. He's going to get into all this, but it's 4 o'clock in the morning out there where he is. And he got up this morning to come on here and join us because the solution to the problems that we have in America, folks, is a sheriff, your local sheriff. Let me stop a second because I was supposed to tell you two things. Check out our website for some videos. We've got some new videos up there today, some stuff that's really, really good. Just go there. So the Sheriff Mack, I watched him the other day again on SGT Report, I think it was. Man, he was nailing it again and again and again. So I emailed and said, "Hey, Sheriff, you get up early in the morning and come and help me out here. Come on, join us." And, of course, he said he would. And here he is, 4 o'clock in the morning. Sheriff Richard Mack, who, by the way, is a constitutional, duly elected sheriff. He's not sheriff anymore. Who took a case all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court and won about the authority of your local sheriff. Sheriff Mack, come on in. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Coach. And thank you so much for having me. And it's a pleasure to be with your audience and your compatriots there.
Well, Sheriff, crack it open here for us, Sheriff. As I start out saying here, we have this we have this problem that nobody seems to know who to turn to. Let me back up a second, Sheriff. I don't know if you know this. I went to Hillary Clinton's house. A bunch of us did. And we filed affidavits, former affidavits. We went to the local police. We went to the county sheriff. Although they don't have county sheriffs in New York anymore.
Yeah, they do. Yes, they do.
Well, they've come up. They've come under something else, Sheriff.
New York City. Well, New York City doesn't have a sheriff necessarily. I mean, they have one, but he's not really like the rest of. But especially Upper New York. But yeah, the surrounding area of New York, they absolutely have sheriffs, and Carpinelli, Sheriff Mike Carpinelli, is one of our good members, and he's a solid constitutional sheriff. And the sheriffs actually in New York stood against Governor Cuomo on his SAFE Act about 5 or 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones that stopped a gun control movement. And thank God for the sheriffs there in New York. Absolutely.
Well, I stand corrected on that one, Sheriff. I didn't know it. Hey, Sheriff, so listen, I'll shut up here for a minute. I don't have a – that's hard for me to do.
But
Sheriff,
I do have an answer to your question.
Okay, go.
Who do we turn to? And every one of your listeners – I don't know, every one of your partners, what do you call everybody on your show?
Yes, they're in the queue, brother. They're just here with us.
Okay. The people that are on the show with us today, it's the same answer for everybody. And they need to get a hold of my book where I answer your question. It's called The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. And every citizen in this country, we the people, have got to read that book so that we do know that there is an answer, there is a solution. And in that book, on the first page, I ask the question, Thomas Jefferson said, when all government shall be drawn to Washington as the center of all power, it will render powerless the checks provided and become as venal and oppressive as the government from which we separated. So he's talking about the Constitution being destroyed because we draw all power to Washington, D.C. That's exactly what's happened today. The founding fathers are looking more prophetic every day as we go along here with this ridiculous charade known as the coronavirus response. When we're destroying our country and destroying our personal and individual liberties and just overall destroying everything that America was founded upon, all in the name of public health. And I'm not willing to do that. But my answer to the question, to what Jefferson just said, when government becomes venal and oppressive, to whom can the people turn for peace, safety, and liberty? And if that be not the sheriff, then there is not a solution. Because when government becomes venal and oppressive, that's when we need the Constitution the most. And that's when we need the sheriffs of this country who have sworn an oath in God's name to uphold, defend, protect, and preserve the United States Constitution and thus our God-given rights. If that fails, then we have no redress. We have no place to go. But this is the public servant who we hired, who works directly for us. He is the only elected law enforcement officer. His duties and his position goes back over 1,000 years in old Anglo-Saxon law. Yes, the sheriff of Nottingham is an indication of how far that goes back. And he is the people's protector. And he promised in God's name to protect them from all enemies, both foreign and domestic. And it is his job to promote and defend liberty first, above all else.
Let me hang here. Sheriff, there's a book. The sheriff just talked about his book. Throw that up on the screen again for us there, Connor. This will explain to us why the county sheriff is America's last hope. Get some of these, hand them out to people, because we have to begin to awaken people. But Sheriff, let's go back here a little bit and explain to people what happened to you and why you know that when you say that the sheriff does, in fact, have all of this, not only power, but authority, mm-hmm. Tell what happened in your life that you now can stand without any reservation and say the Supreme Court of the United States has agreed with me.
Well, that is the changing point of my life. And everybody listening across America, I hope, will understand and get this. The sheriff is the only elected law enforcement officer in your county and pretty much in this country. He's not a bureaucrat. He doesn't answer to the city council or to the town manager like a chief of police does. He answers to the people. Do you know that the sheriff has no other supervisor, has no other person on this planet that he has to check with except God and the people?
No other boss. Not the mayor, not the county commissioners. He's it.
He answers to the people. And every 4 years, the people decide whether or not to keep him. They review his job, and they decide whether to keep him. And that's exactly what a constitutional republic is all about. And so God bless our sheriffs. And this is the thing. The sheriff must have the support of the people. He works for them. He works with them. And if you have a complaint, he better damn well be listening. And he better respond. Because he works for you. And oh my goodness. But anyway, I'll get into the story right now about I sued the federal government. And that's what you were alluding to. When I was sheriff in Graham County, Arizona, that's where I grew up as a boy. My dad was an FBI agent there for about 25 years. And I became the sheriff in my hometown. And I was elected in 1988. I was the youngest sheriff in the state at the time. And in 1993, Bill Clinton signed a law called the Brady Bill. And it was named after James Brady, who was shot and wounded during President Reagan's assassination attempt. And after that, his wife exploited him. And tried to get gun control named after him, and they had Brady Handgun Control Incorporated movement. And anyway, so the Brady Bill was the first time in American history where a law passed by Congress and signed by the president commandeered the office of sheriff for federal bidding. They actually had a part of the law said the sheriff shall enforce the gun control associated with the Brady Bill.
So a federal law having to be enforced by a local sheriff.
Correct. All the sheriffs of this country were put on notice, and agents of the BATF came out here to Arizona and came to our Sheriff's Association meeting. And we only have 15 counties in Arizona. They're really big counties. And the BATF showed up with three guys and handed us a document and said, this document represents your marching orders as to how you must comply with the Brady Bill. And every sheriff, there were 13 sheriffs there, and every sheriff was just cussing and telling these guys, no way, and everybody was really upset, both the Democrats and Republicans of all the sheriffs there. It was about half and half. Everybody was just really ticked off.
And so, Sheriff, let me paint the picture, Sheriff. So the feds come in and say, Sheriff Mack, you're going to enforce this law and go take guns away from people here in Arizona. And you said, over my dead body.
Well, yeah. And it wasn't quite that extreme at that point because we were so bewildered. We just we couldn't believe this. And I told the agents there, I said, do you know that we don't work for the federal government? We don't work for the president. It was Bill Clinton at the time. So, Coach, you can actually say that I sued the Clintons and I lived to tell about it. So anyway, I did sue him, and this is the only time in American history where a couple of sheriffs sued the federal government, took it all the way to the United States Supreme Court, and won. Now, if anybody is on your internet, you can Google it, Mac v. U.S. And the other sheriff that went with me, I started this whole thing. I was the first one to file. I didn't know anybody else was going to join me in the lawsuit, but they did, and thank God that they did. But six other sheriffs joined us, so there were seven of us that did this fight nationwide.
We have it up on the screen right now, Sheriff. Mac and the United States.
Yep, there it is. And we went to the district court level where everybody won. All seven of us won except the sheriff in Texas. Now, why there was only seven of us? I mean, you have to think, what on earth were the other sheriffs thinking? They were just too wimpy to join the lawsuit. But anyway, how do you only have one sheriff who joined that lawsuit from Texas? One out of 254 sheriffs in Texas, only one did it. And so anyway, we went all the way to the United States Supreme Court.
What was the overview of your case? What was your argument that you took to the court?
Oh, yes. Very good question. Yes. I got ahead of myself. So I called. I didn't know what to do after that meeting. When I was telling the BATF, look, we don't work for you. You can't fire me. You can't hire me. And you can't tell me what to do. And the other sheriffs were agreeing, but the sheriffs didn't know what they wanted to do. They were really cussing. There were people that were much more vociferous about this whole thing and against it than I was. I was just wondering what was going on kind of thing at first. I was mad, yes, but I didn't know. I was really taken aback by this whole thing. So anyway, I told those guys, the BATF, well, they said, well, the Congress made a law. We didn't make it. We're just here to enforce it and let you guys know how you have to do it. And said, you know what? I don't care if Congress passed 500 laws. I don't work for you guys, and none of us do. So anyway, the sheriffs talked about it, and then that's all they did. They just talked. And they didn't want to do anything. There's nothing we can do, nothing we can do. And I said, you guys, I'm not doing this. I said, and they all looked at me, like deer in the headlight thing. And what are you talking about? So all the way, I had a 2.5 hour drive home. And all the way home, I'm just brooding and brooding about this and just said, there's no way I can do it. But coach, I need to tell you, within the Brady Bill, it said, if we failed to comply, that we were subject to a federal arrest and we were subject to a year in jail and a $10,000 fine or both. I said, there's just no way. There's just no way. I mean, are you told? So when I drove up in my driveway and I got home, I said, it hit me. I'm going to sue my own federal government. I'm going to sue the Clinton administration. And I was scared to death and I was sweating. And I thought, well, my wife won't let me do this. She'll talk me out of it. And I went into the house and I just blurted it out to her. I hadn't been home for a day and a half. And she came up to hug me and I just blurted out, I'm going to sue the federal government. I'm going to stop this. I'm going to stand for the Second Amendment and I'm going to stop this stupid Brady Bill thing. And they're trying to commandeer me and tell me what to do. And she goes, of course, you know what she did. She goes, what are you talking about? And I tried to slow down and tell her what it was. And then this is where the miracle really happened, coach. My wife told me, maybe now we know why you were elected sheriff. Because it was such a miracle that I got elected. I hadn't even lived here for 12 years. I'd never worked in law enforcement in the state of Arizona. I'd been away to Utah where I worked as a cop for 11 years and went to school and went to college. And so I, it was the most unlikely election ever. And I got elected and I beat an 8-year incumbent. And I barely won the primary against another guy by 111 votes. And then I won the primary about 1500 votes, about 10%. And then I was reelected in 1992. And then in 1994, on February 28th, the very day the Brady Bill took effect, I filed a lawsuit in federal district court in Tucson, Arizona, Mac v. U.S. And I didn't, before this though, Sheriff, I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what to do. And so I called the NRA. And I was not even a member of the NRA. I was not involved in anything. And I told them who I was and what I wanted to do. And the next the next comment from them was absolutely life-changing. They said, Sheriff, we've already been preparing the paperwork on this case, and we've been praying that you would call.
Wow.
And I said, me? And they go, we need a sheriff because we don't have standing. And I said, well, we're going to sue on the Second Amendment, aren't we? And finally prove that what the founders intended by the Second Amendment. They go, no, we're not. And I go, what? You're the NRA. They go, you don't have standing on the Second Amendment because you're exempt from the Brady Bill background checks and the requirements of the Brady Bill. You just have to enforce it. And I go, okay, then what are we? What paperwork are you preparing? They go, 10th Amendment. And I said, states' rights? And they go, absolutely. The federal government, the President of the United States, cannot tell you what to do. And I said, even better, because that's what I told them. So we filed for two reasons, Coach. We filed for two reasons. One, my oath of office would not allow me to violate the Second Amendment for the federal government, for the Clintons and Sarah Brady and all of them, and Janet Reno was the Attorney General. I said, they said, they cannot force you to do this. They're threatening to arrest you. And I said, what's the other one then? And I said, that you were right, Sheriff. They cannot tell you what to do. So we're going to protect the Second Amendment through the 10th Amendment, and we're going to protect the sovereignty of the state of Arizona and local autonomy of the sheriff. And I said, great. So we did, took it all the way to the United States Supreme Court. We won. And Coach, that's where it even became more miraculous. To get to the Supreme Court is a miracle. To actually win at the Supreme Court, they take 1% of the cases that cross the Supreme Court desk. 1%. So we were 1% to even be heard, and then even smaller percentage to actually win the case. And we did. And
so, Sheriff,
everybody needs, let me just add this. Everybody on this call, everybody throughout America needs to get a copy of that case. And I have it on my website. I made a sweet condensed version of the Supreme Court decision where you can read it. It fits in your pocket. You saw me hand those out to you in Houston. Everybody needs to get a copy of that. You can get five of them for $10. At CSPOA.org, CSPOA.org, and you can get the book, The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. You can get some of my other books, like Are You a David?, which asks the question again, will you answer the call when people ask you for redress or grievance? When people ask you for help, Sheriff, will you answer the call, just as young David did when he stood against Goliath? And that's what that whole thing is.
Sheriff, one of the things that blew me away in that little packet that you marketing here, what did Scalia say? What was? Can you give us that Scalia quote about?
Oh, yeah. Sheriff? Well, I tell you, it's my favorite quote that I've ever heard from any Supreme Court decision. It is amazing, and this is why I have such a huge answer for every one of you today about how you started the whole show. Who can we turn to? And so this is going to blow everybody away, that a U.S. Supreme Court case actually said stuff that is going on today and gave us a solution to what's going on today. And it says this, quote, but the Constitution protects us from our own best intentions. Let's say that again. The Constitution protects us from our own best intentions. And then he goes on, and Justice Scalia said this, it divides power among sovereigns and among branches of government precisely so that we may resist the temptation to concentrate power in one location as an expedient solution to the crisis of the day.
Wow.
The crisis of the day, Coach, the crisis of the day. And here we are today. Destroying America and our Constitution and our God-given rights for this crisis of the day. And we cannot do it. There is no exemption to liberty. There is no time when any public official in this country can ever say, your God-given rights are now suspended, and we're going to force you into your homes to house arrest. And we're going to arrest you if you're outside playing ball with your kids in the park. And we're going to arrest you if you're having a church service. Are you kidding? Coach, cannot we agree on one principle of liberty that our country was founded upon? The reason people came to America religious liberty. And here we have police and even a sheriff in Florida who arrested Rodney Howard Brown for having church, for God's sake. And
Sheriff,
you would think we could agree on religious liberty in this country.
Here's the problem we have, Sheriff. Sheriffs, plural, they don't know. They don't understand. I know that, Sheriff, about 10 years ago, you were more active. You've been active, but the issue has kind of died. 10 years ago, you were going around trying to train constitutional sheriffs as if there's any other kind of sheriff. All sheriffs are supposed to be constitutional sheriffs. But
right.
You were going around trying to train local sheriffs. You are the authority in your county. Would you agree with me, Sheriff, that most sheriffs really don't have any idea about that?
No, they don't have any idea. And the bigger problem there is they've never read the Constitution. And so now you've just exposed everybody on the call what I do. I train sheriffs to become constitutional sheriffs. Yes, you're right, Coach. They're all supposed to be constitutional sheriffs, but they don't know that. And, mm-hmm. and so we train them to stand. And this is the difference. This is the dichotomy. We have Sheriff Chronister in Florida, who arrested Pastor Howard Brown, or we have Sheriff Nichols in Maine, who told his governor, "We will not comply with your orders. We will not make this a police state. We will not comply, and we will not act like Nazi soldiers. We will defend the Constitution in this county." And lo and behold, I did training there about 7 or 8 years ago for sheriffs. And it's starting to spread, and people are really starting to wake up. But they've got to be educated, and that's where we the people come in. There are 3,080 sheriffs in America. I cannot train them all. I cannot reach them all. I send out emails to about 2,000 of them every week, and we really work hard to get them trained and to make them aware and make them understand and to take away their ignorance and to tell them they have got to read the Constitution, especially the Bill of Rights. If they'll just read the Bill of Rights and understand those 27 principles in the Bill of Rights, we'll have them. We'll win. And we've been seeing sheriffs all over this country during the coronavirus take a stand against their dictator governors, like Whitmer. Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan, she even made it illegal for people to buy vegetable seeds at the store, at Walmart.
Sheriff, how about this one? Our governor said yesterday that wearing face masks is going to become as common as seat belts.
Yeah. And
can you believe that?
That's astonishing to me. And for a governor to be that stupid and ridiculous. I mean, I'm all for taking some of these precautions. Don't get me wrong here, people. I'm all for being careful. I take a hand sanitizer everywhere I go. I have a pocket hand sanitizer from Bath and Body Works, and I literally bought hundreds of those. So for my family, my grandkids, and everybody, I take off my shoes before I come into the house where I didn't do before. So everybody who comes into our house, because we don't want to traipsing anything off their shoes into the house that might have a disease or germs on it. And those are a lot of germs there. And I take Dr. Shiva. I was on a show with him, and he's one of the leading experts in the world on immunities, on the body's capability of protecting its own immune system. He mm-hmm. said the main thing you can do is you do not need to shut down. You do not need to stay in your home. He said that's worse. That's making the problem worse. He says make sure you take in your vitamin A, your vitamin D, and your vitamin C. He said those three will build an immunity around the cell and protect it from any virus, let alone coronavirus.
Okay, Sheriff, hang on here now. You and I have rattled on here for 30 minutes, and I got some guys itching to get in here and ask you a question or two.
Bring them on.
All right, brother.
You know, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, the sheriff just mentioned reasonable precautions, and I agree 100% fully that reasonable precautions on an individual level are the way to go, and the government making them laws is not the way to go.
Well,
but
first,
the government
not laws.
Explaining they're- why they're reasonable, there's nothing wrong with that. But the thing is it's just like the Bible. People can read pages of the Bible and get two different readings off of it, and they both think it's reasonable.
That's true.
I think wearing masks is reasonable. I don't think the government making you wear them
is
reasonable.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with that comment.
When I see somebody wearing a mask, if they cough, if they have the disease, it's going to be less disease reaching me than if they don't have a mask on.
Totally reasonable.
Here's the thing, though. I believe that privately owned stores have the right to say you can't come in here and shop if you don't have a mask on.
We all agree with that.
Yes. I totally agree with that. Where it can't go is when you, Jefferson said, in this republic nation, the government can persuade and reason with us, but they cannot force. And that's the issue. Jesus never forced us. He never said, I want government or somebody down here to force us. He reasoned with us. He pleaded with us. He taught us. He educated us. And he touched our hearts. And I will do that with my neighbors. You're totally correct. It is reasonable. I wear a mask a lot of times. I take a lot of these precautions. I go to the store. I go to some store that's open every day. I either go to Office Max and get prints, or I go buy something at the grocery store every day. Every day. And I wear a mask 95% of the time. The only time I own post office, I go to the post office almost every day. And we're sending out our books to everybody right now. We certainly hope we send out more to you. And all of those are available.
The point is, nobody has the right to tell me that I have to do it. In fact,
Those are not laws.
It's not a law.
And even if it were a law, we train our sheriffs. When you are forced into the quandary of having to choose between the Constitution and enforcing some statute or order from local legislatures or governors, which one do you choose? We choose liberty. We choose God's law first. Man's law does not supersede the Constitution. Man's law does not supersede the God's law. We must stand firm as Christians on godly principles, and we stand firm in that. We do not enforce unconstitutional laws. We're not tyrants. There's no way. We must stand with our oath of office to defend the principles of liberty as detailed in the Bill of Rights. That's our job. That's what we promised to do. That's what we must do. And yes, I will fight this with my neighbors and do reasonable and take reasonable steps, just as he said. Yes.
It's a question of
authority. Do not force me.
Area code 614. You want to come in? No? Somebody want to? Jack, you want in here? Who did I see? Go ahead. Come on, Vinny. Come on, Vinny.
You are a hero, brother. You are a hero to us. These sheriffs need to learn from you, brother.
Yes, and that's where you come in. You need to talk to your sheriffs about this, and you need to get a relationship with your sheriff and say, hey, because we're going to be putting out.
Hang on, Sheriff.
Okay.
There you go.
We're going to be putting out a video of my training so where you can purchase it from us and make sure your sheriff watches it. And you guys need to watch it too. Everybody here has got to know what your sheriff is supposed to be doing. And so if you take him a book, you need to have one too. And all of my books are really short. The county sheriff book is only 50 pages. The Victory for State Sovereignty, now you got to remember that, VSS, Victory for State Sovereignty, is that little pocket-sized review of the Supreme Court decision. Okay, remember that. Victory for State Sovereignty. And so I put all the highlights of this amazing Supreme Court case, the most powerful 10th Amendment decision, state sovereignty decision in the history of America. You've got to see that. It'll take you maybe 10 minutes to read it, but then you need to go through it again and highlight it. Highlight it for your sheriff and hand it to him. Highlight it for your favorite cop, your chief of police, your favorite city councilman. Highlight it. Show them what this did. We've got to make this a household name. This is the most ignored Supreme Court decision in the history of our country. It's the most powerful one ever on the 10th Amendment.
Sheriff, yeah. Sheriff's our only chance. Isn't it, Sheriff Mack? It's our only chance as the local sheriff. That is only chance. They've told us all the time that all politics are
peaceful.
Your local sheriff.
That's your only chance.
Your local sheriff needs to stand. Wasn't that really what kind of saved the Bundys at Bundy Ranch? Didn't the locals say we're not enforcing this federal overreach?
No. The sheriff himself, it was Sheriff Gillespie. He wouldn't defend them. But luckily, the day that the Bundy protesters were actually walking to the makeshift corral where the federal government was gathering all their cattle, they put them in this makeshift corral. And oddly enough, they put the people in the corral too. They said, you can have freedom of speech, but you can only do it in a corral. They made a corral for people, and they had to go inside this corral in order to wave their signs and do their chants. Nobody obeyed that. Nobody did. And they said, come and arrest me then, including me. And so then, because I was there the day that it all went down, and luckily, because to answer yes to your question, there were about 10 or 15 deputies of Clark County Sheriff's Office, and they were there watching, trying to keep the peace, and there was 200 snipers there from the federal government, and they hired some mercenaries too, and that thing cost them so much money to do all that. Anyway, they don't care about spending your money. They don't. And somebody from the federal government took a hammer and hit the gate right when they were being told, those protesters, men and women alike, were told if they didn't turn around that they were going to be shot.
Wow.
And that announcement came over. And they were told that. And one of our CSPOA members called me while I was on the freeway trying to get there. He called me and said, they're going to kill us, Sheriff. He said, Sheriff, please tell my wife I love her. That's the last thing I want her to know. And he really thought he was going to be killed. And they were told they were going to be killed. And then this deputy sheriff, a captain for Clark County, his name was Tom Roberts. He went out and put himself in the way. He interposed. The doctrine of interposition is what we teach our sheriffs. And he put his hands up and he said, don't shoot. He told the feds, don't shoot these people. You don't want to do this. And he turned to the crowd and he said, what do you want me to do? One man put himself in the way and prevented dozens of people from being killed.
What a picture.
And he told the federal government to leave, and they did. They packed up and left right then. We got the cows out, and I got there in time for that. I helped direct traffic for the cows so they would be not spooked as they were going home. And it was the most spiritual, amazing miracle that I've ever seen. There was about 700 people lined up there in the desert, and it was such a spiritual event. We all had tears in our eyes as we watched the cows come home. And it was such a freedom moment. But you're right. The reason that happened is because one deputy sheriff stood in the way. And that's in my book. That story is in my book, Are You a David?
Who wants in here? Scroll down. Yeah.
Then Joseph.
Hey, Joseph.
I got one question. When they had the roadblock and the FBI or whoever was there that shot the one of the leaders.
The Voy Finicum.
When are they going to bring justice against them for them doing that?
Well, his wife, his widow, has been fighting that, and she still is. Her name's Jeanette. She just got remarried a few months ago. She's a wonderful lady, wonderful Christian. They tried to settle out of court with her, and she refused. She wants the day in court because she wants to expose this to the country.
See, Joseph, it goes back to what I wrote about today, redress of grievances. The sheriff is our redress. He's the guy that we ought to be putting more pressure on to interpose, stand between us. Somebody else, come on in. I'm sorry, Joseph, were you done? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to walk on you, bud.
Yeah, I was just going to comment that it was a Stasi action. There's no reason we shoot on our own people.
And no, they were shooting everybody. They were shooting into that van with an 18-year-old girl in there. And
They were probably killed.
And they killed Lavoy Finicum. And what he was doing is he was trying to draw the fire away from the van. That's why he got out and he got into the snow there. And then they shot him three times in the back.
So Sheriff, are most of our sheriffs uninformed or afraid?
Both. Most of them are both. And it goes back to them not realizing what their jobs are. Now, we've trained over 500 sheriffs across the country, but that's during the last 10 years. And we've got to get funded, Coach, so I can pick that up and I can increase that. Man, oh, man, folks, I really got to implore you. I'm getting a lot of feedback there. I got to implore every one of you. Donate what you can. I can't raise the money, and I don't have money. But if everybody will pitch in, we can help fund this movement to make this happen.
And Jared, pull up the website there if you can. Folks, let me say this about the sheriff. I didn't know this. About 10 years ago, it's the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. Sheriff Mack founded this. And about 10 years ago, this was all the rage. And he was really, really busy flying around the country, making presentations, yada, yada, yada. And he said over the last, probably since President Trump's been elected, everything has gone dead. It's gone dead so much that he's had to take a job as a local high school teacher to feed his family. And as we know, no man can serve two masters. So he's trying to be honorable and serve his family by being a public school teacher. And thank God he's there to educate the kids. But this is a bigger issue that he needs to be able to dedicate more of his time to. Now, you guys know this. Watch this show regularly. I never ask people to give money to get ever. I never do. But I would ask you that you would support the sheriff and his attempt. This is so critical for us. Now, if you don't want to just make a donation to the sheriff, buy some of his materials. Hand out some of his materials. Because ultimately, it's going to come down to the fact, whether you see it yet or not, whether you understand it or not, the redress of our grievances will, at the final cost, come down to whether or not the sheriff will stand for you against state officials, federal officials, FBI. And the local sheriff is our last bastion. He is the guy. And it's important that we educate our sheriffs or we will lose all liberty. We all know this right now. Everybody knows this. If you go to some place and you come into a police officer and they're trying to whatever. I go to the abortion clinics. They're trying to enforce things. I said, listen, that's not constitutional. You can't do that. I have nobody to turn to. Not the captain of the police force, not the chief of police. They're all following federal regulations. But my local sheriff has the ability to come in and tell those city cops, no, you can't. Sheriff, do I have that right? Do I have that hierarchy right?
You're absolutely correct, Coach.
And so we've got to get this message. Sheriffs aren't going to believe me. They're not going to believe Jack McCarthy. They're not going to believe Larry Richardson. They're not going to believe Roger Weaver. They're not going to believe Dale Folta. But they might believe Sheriff Mack, especially when he can produce the goods, the Supreme Court decision that he won. We have got to go on a grant. What could be easier than awakening a sheriff as opposed to your governor and your state reps? What if we could awaken every sheriff in America? What if we could awaken Sheriff Mack, didn't you say 20%? If we could just get 20%, what numbers do you think, Sheriff?
Yeah, I feel like was it Abraham in the Old Testament? If I can find just 50 good people, and then you got to lay down to 10.
If we can get
20% of our sheriffs in this country, so that'd be about 600, 700, 800. If we can get them to stand, there'll be no stopping it. We'll take liberty back tomorrow, and we have living proof of it. Sheriff Reams in Colorado, Sheriff Farney from Washington State, Sheriff Songer from Washington, the New Mexico Sheriff's Association, 29 out of 33 sheriffs standing there against their governor for the Second Amendment and the right to keep and bear arms. But right now we have sheriffs that are standing and saying, I will not arrest any ministers. I will not arrest people out of their home. I will not arrest people not wearing a mask. We will persuade them to. We will talk them into it. But we will not arrest and force people.
No.
I love those sheriffs. And you can see if they're in the news. You can, Google the sheriff standing, and you'll get all sorts of people.
Amen. Amen. Somebody want to come in? I'm looking at these.
Now, in the meantime, I could give you another quote from the Supreme Court decision.
Okay.
It says, hence, when the state stands for freedom, and you'll see this in the decision when you all get your copies, hence, a double security arises to the rights of the people. The different governments will control each other at the same time that each is controlled by itself. It's our job. There he goes. United States Supreme Court. The best system of checks and balances is that the governments, the different governments, will control each other. It's our job.
So the sheriff will stand up. This is my jurisdiction. It's not the federal jurisdiction. You have no authority here. Go ahead, Kevin. Come on in.
I was going to say, do you, when you're working as a teacher, do you share this information with your students?
Oh, I sure do. The school is based on the Constitution and the Founding Fathers, and we get to talk about that anytime. And we can actually, it's a charter school. So we have some state rules we have to comply with. I can talk about God anytime I want, as long as it's a quote from the Founding Fathers or some of the foundational documents like Declaration of Independence, Constitution, Bill of Rights, and all that. Yeah.
Okay. Coach, can I jump in here for a second? Okay. One of the things we have to make sure of, though, if you go to your sheriff and say, I want you to enforce this constitutional law, the sheriff is going to say, what do you know about it? What law? We have to know it. We have to know it well in order to enact it. So before you go running down to the local police chief and say, hey, that's unconstitutional, you better really understand and have studied it, not just carried it around and waved it around like it's some kind of symbol. You have to know it, folks, and we have to study it, and we have to actually spend some time talking to each other about it to study it, because some people don't even understand the difference between made and made. There's different meanings, and we have to know, and we have to interpret it in the language and the meaning of the words at the time it was written. So we got to do more than just read it. We got to study it.
But people just have a lack of knowledge. Somebody want to come in? Just mute yourself. I'm looking at the queue over. If anybody has a question for the sheriff or a comment, just unmute yourself and we'll invite you right in here to the discussion.
I just joined.
Good, Joseph. Good. Just joined the constitutional sheriffs and Pete. Folks, listen. We need. God bless Sheriff from the Mac. We need to get him out of the classroom.
And that's what I wanted to make sure everybody. You don't have to be a former cop or sheriff or law enforcement to join. We need citizens. All people can join. So being a member. We sure love you to be that. And then, yes, do as the other caller suggested, study these things. You cannot find a better situation than what we offer you right now. And that is, I've done all the work to make sure that you're familiar with what we're doing, familiar with the Constitution, familiar with the duties of the sheriff. Our books take care of that. And man, oh man, yes, no one understand the Bill of Rights. No one understand the oath of office that your sheriff is required to take in Article 6 of the U.S. Constitution, and then present it to him. And that is the best way we're going to take back America.
Redress of grievances.
And amen, amen, and amen.
Area code 315, did you want to come in?
Yes, this is Gary up in New York. And my question is, what would be the best way to start getting to know your sheriff? Whether you just got elected or if you just moved to that particular county, etc. What would be the best way to start out so you're not just overwhelming. I'm like, hey, who is this guy? He's coming out of nowhere.
Yeah. Great question, Gary.
Actually, and we have a survey on our website that gives you some questions that you can ask him. But you can go in and take your wife or other people with you. Take a plate of cookies to him. Cops always like donuts, but no. The cookies thing is good. Get to know him, be friendly, and say, have you ever heard of this constitutional sheriff movement? And I'd be totally shocked if he said no. But you say, well, this is the CSPOA. This is where sheriffs are trained to follow the Constitution. Do you plan to follow the Constitution? If he says, what? You know, then you know you got somebody who you've really got to treat as a baby and go with him baby steps. If you have somebody who says, yes, I know all about that. I have Sheriff Mack's book. Good. Then you've got a good start to go on. But you start with the oath of office. Say, Sheriff, you remember that every time you're elected and when you were first a cop, you took an oath. Do you remember that oath? Some will say they don't remember it. Some will say, oh, yeah, I do. Well, do you remember what you swore to do? Most of them will not remember what they swore to do. They'll tell you, oh, I swore to uphold the law and enforce the law fairly. No, I said, Sheriff, that is not what you did. You swore in God's name that you would uphold and defend the United States Constitution and the Constitution of the state of Ohio or the state of New York. And all of those are really solid documents on protecting individual liberty and the right to keep and bear arms. And of course, all of them. How about to protect people's right to freedom of religion and the right to peaceably assemble and to file redress of grievances? But then go into that with him and say, hey, Sheriff Mack offers this training seminar and I can get that to you and you can watch it on your own time and then appeal to him to watch it or even have his entire office trained with the CSPOA training class that we offer. Man, if they would do that for their own office, and we have sheriffs that have done that. I've traveled all around this country training sheriffs in their own departments with all of their personnel.
Amen. Myra, come on in.
Yes, I did join. Thank you so much, and thank you for your word this morning, your email. God bless you, Coach Tavamaya, for all your effort, and I'm truly learning through you, and thank you so much. God bless you, and thank you, Sheriff.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Jack, come on in, Jack.
One of the things that's going on is most of the time when you go talk to your sheriff or your legislators, they have not read. They're talking about the federal constitution, but most of them have never read their state constitutions. And that's where we have to focus because it's local. The state constitution is protected by the 10th Amendment. If you just quote the 10th Amendment, you're only doing a quarter of the job. We got to know our own constitutions. Maine's constitution is amazing, even though it's been modified too many times. But Jefferson wrote the first third of our constitution. We've got a great constitution. But if we don't use it, it's a tool in the toolbox. And if we don't open the toolbox, we're not getting anything built.
So, Sheriff,
amen. I totally agree with that.
Sheriff, about, 20 years ago, whenever it was, whenever Terry Schiavo was starved to death down in Pinellas County, Florida. I was down there, was part of that kind of stuff. I said all along, Sheriff, that somebody local should have saved that woman. And all it would have taken was for the sheriff and the sheriff deputies to show up, surround the building, and tell them to not quit starving her. Isn't that okay? It didn't have anything to do with what Judge Myron Thomas said, did it, Sheriff? Couldn't the local sheriff said, no, feed that woman?
Yeah, absolutely. That was such a horrendous case. But yeah, the sheriff should have stepped in and said, all life is important. Medical teams, you don't get to make the decision who lives, who dies. And yeah, they should have. And Coach, I pray for the day when the sheriff will do that at abortion clinics in this country.
Amen.
And when the sheriff will stand and say, I'm not going to allow the IRS to abuse people in my county anymore. And I am not going to allow Christians to be forced to pay to support Planned Parenthood anymore. With federal dollars. Yes. I pray
Sheriff,
for that day.
Move to Ohio. Let's get you back in there. Because this is it, isn't it, Sheriff? And it all comes, well, Yeah, I could just go on and on and on and on and on. Now, right. Sheriff, mostly you're a church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints. You're a Mormon, aren't you, Sheriff?
Yes, I am.
So what is, Sheriff, what's the position of the Mormon church on these issues of government? We in evangelifishism, as I call it, our pastors won't get involved at all in any of this stuff. What's the position of the Mormon church?
The Mormon church kind of disavows politics a little bit, but they also tell us to get to vote. The Constitution is in our own theology that it was inspired by God, and that its destruction has been predicted and prophesied about, that in the last days the Constitution will be hanging by a thread, and it's up to the churches to stand and protect it and to restore it.
So, whether you and I are differ theologically, Jesus said, "The enemy of my enemy is my friend," because you know people are going to say that, right, Sheriff? They say, "Well, I'm not going to support him. He's a Mormon," or "I'm not going to support him. He's a Catholic." These issues affect us all, don't they, Sheriff? And we have
Coach, I can't wait for the day. I can't wait for the day where you and I sit down as brothers and have a theological discussion about our differences in theology views. However, I would first fight with all of you and stand hand in hand with all of you. I don't care what race you are. I don't care what religion you are. We must stand together as Americans and Christians for the holy cause of liberty. Then, after we get our country back, I'd really love to sit down and talk to you about our theological differences. I would love that. I would love to attend church with you. I don't care what church it is. I would love to do that. I pray for the day when we all respect each other's views and we stand hand in hand in the meantime and take back our Constitution and take back our God-given liberty.
Amen. We have to do that. So, Sheriff, listen, we got about 3 minutes left here, Sheriff Mack.
Okay.
Now, when we hang up here and you go back to bed or whatever it is you're going to do, Sheriff, what can the people here in this queue, the 51 people in here with us today, and the thousands that are watching all across America, what can they do, Sheriff? What's their marching order?
Spread the word about the CSPOA. To have everybody join, get our books, get this information out to people around you. Give one of those little booklets about the Supreme Court case to anybody in government. Doesn't matter if they're a cop, dog catcher, city council person, mayor, county commissioner, a state rep, a United States senator, anybody and everybody. Get information out to them. Take one to your sheriff. Get involved with your sheriff. Get a relationship with your sheriff or a deputy sheriff. And then try to get these people educated. All of you that have talked about the importance of knowing and understanding, the Bill of Rights is a place to hang your hat. The state constitution is another place, absolutely, to hang your hat. These public servants are there to serve you, and they must be educated. Jefferson said, he who expects to be ignorant and free expects what never was and what never will be. We cannot allow our public servants to continue to be ignorant about these issues. And I pray for the day when we return to these principles. This is nonviolent. This is a act of God. This is a act of love. This is a movement for love, for liberty, and for the God-given liberties we were blessed with when we were born in America. Let's do this together. Let's go hand in hand. I'm willing to work with any of you. The training for all of you has just begun. You're right. You have to be informed. And so the best way is to get to be a part of what we're doing. Please join. Please donate. Please get the books. These are wonderful things. These are miracles from God. My Supreme Court decision was a miracle from God Almighty. Use it, love it, understand it, and take this to the streets and pray to God for inspiration and guidance. And we can take America back in a peaceful and effective way. We've already got proof that this is working. Now we need to make it bigger, better, and faster.
and help in any way you can. Help financially, help with your time, and share your alms with whoever you can.
Folks, listen, when they come and tell you you're going to have a vaccination, when they come and tell you that you have to give up your arms, when they come and they tell you that you're going to, they have going to vaccinate your children or they're not going to be able to come to school, your last line of defense is your local sheriff. God bless you, Sheriff Mack. We support you 100%. And folks, we need to do everything we can to try to spread this message. Now, Sheriff, when we hang up here, brother, just stay with us a second. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.